Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Earlier this week, we spoke with the Neurological Alliance of Ireland, who said several specialist nursing posts were not being filled because of the HSE recruitment embargo. Meanwhile, thousands of children are waiting months for special needs assessments. And there is now a huge waiting list in some areas for access to special school places. Anne Rabbitt is Minister for Disability and she joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome indeed to the programme and thank you very much indeed for joining us. There are about 860,000 people up and down the country currently living with a neurological condition. And as I said, we had Mags Rogers from the Neurological Alliance of Ireland on our programme earlier this week. And she said that you had invested in 21 specialist nurses, but 13 of these, she said, much needed posts are not filled yet due to the recruitment embargo. Can you confirm to me that that's the case first?
Good evening, Cormac, and thank you very much for having me. And can I start by complimenting Mags and NAI and the work that they do? And yes, I can confirm that is the case, Cormac. But there is nothing to prevent them also looking within health or within the HSE for looking for a derogation for those posts to be filled. So you are correct in your statement, though, those posts aren't filled.
Because of the embargo?
Yes, but there, as I say to you, and I have talked to my people this evening within HSE Disabilities prior to coming on to your show, and there is nothing to stop seeking for primary notification to look for the recruitment or for the embargo not to have an impact on currently.
So the HSE would have to seek the derogation, is that it?
Yes, they do. They have to seek the derogation.
Have they?
Not to date.
Why not?
That I can't answer, Cormac, because to be quite honest with you, as you understand how disabilities works, that actually I'm complex disabilities. I sought the funding for these nurses. I secured the funding in my budget. Mm. But they're clinical nurse places that are placed within the acute setting that don't come to me. So what they have told me is if they were to seek the derogation could be provided for. Because
why not just lift the embargo? This is a government policy. Why not lift the embargo and let these patients...
Do you know what, Cormac? Mm. I don't have an embargo on complex disabilities side of the house. I actually negotiated that I wouldn't have an embargo on complex disabilities. So for the likes of the community neuro teams, primary notification has been granted to them and they will start advertising for the in excess of 38 posts within the next 2-3 weeks.
And that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
But that's an important point.
No, absolutely. And that's why I gave you time to make it. But what you have just confirmed to us is that the 21 specialist nurses that you have provided funding for, 13 of these, they're really, really needed by patients. And they're not filled, these posts, because of the recruitment embargo. Now, there is some now discussion between the HSE and the department about seeking a derogation. And if they sought the derogation, maybe those posts could be filled and so on. Really and truly, has anybody thought about the patient? Do you know what the impact is on these posts not being filled?
And it's important as well to say, Cormac, that there is recruitment taking place within the HSE. There's 2,900 posts that will be filled this year, even though there is an embargo going on. But what it means is that in order for good governance and good management is that somebody has to make the decision to look for the primary notification to recruit. What I'm saying to you is here, nobody has refused it because they haven't been sought.
You mentioned the community there. Mags also, yes, from the NAI, also said that there were four community-based neurological teams that were also delayed because of the embargo. You're saying that's not the case, is it?
That's not the case here, Cormac. So there's a process. Of course, there's a process to it. So primary notification has been granted, which means the approval has been given for the advertisement to go in the papers within the next 3 weeks. And that will mean that we will be recruiting onto our team sixes and sevens. There was posts allocated there already, but not enough to make the teams. I have funded that for six and seven, so the recruitment can start there. And also on the teams which are two and four, which is the West and the South, there will be notifications going for filling of those entire teams within the next 3 weeks. And hopefully, all those teams will be full by the end of August.
Well, the HSE, after we spoke with Mags, provided a statement to us, and they mentioned recruitment that was ongoing despite the embargo, and they said there were exemptions as well. But you're saying they haven't sought a derogation here. So I want
no,
to...
No.
Go on.
There's two different sides to the story here, Cormac. There's the acute side of it. There's the acute, and there's the complex disability.
No, I understand that, but on the 13 specialist nurses, yeah. I know. But on the 13 specialist nurses that we were talking about, you said they could seek a derogation. That's what I want clarification on, why they haven't, and if they were to seek it, would they be allowed to recruit? Can I ask you as well on rehab beds? Because the NAI were saying that they only have a third. We only have a third of the beds we need for our population in this country. Really important rehab beds for people to recover after a surgery. Can you confirm to me that that's the case? That's true. And why, if that's so?
We always need more rehab beds. That there is no denying that whatsoever. We always need more rehab beds. And we need actually more beds to ensure that more people can go through the likes of the NRH and have more step down spaces, absolutely. And that's why I would partner with the likes of the No Barriers in Donegal, where we can provide rehabilitation within the community. That's why we work very, very closely with OnSale in Dublin, where you can provide that support in the community.
And yes, I know they're seeking funding for a new a house or chach on sale, because I spoke with Reinhard Schaler about this recently as well, and they're hoping for funding. Why do we only have a third of the beds we need for rehab?
And to be quite honest with you, as I say to you, Cormac, there is always a demand on more and more beds.
Yeah, that's the answer, though. Really, why don't we have more beds?
But at the same time, it's also about supporting within the community. It's also about actually ensuring that closest to home, which is the Sláinte Care model, closest to home, closest to community. I talk about Donegal, I'm talking about their
traffic. That's needed
on
as
sale.
Well. Why do we have only Cormac, a third of beds that we need?
Well, I am sure, and I've no doubt that Minister Donnelly is giving serious consideration to adding to that capacity.
We've spoken to you before as well about access for children to special education. Now, this is a huge issue. The Independent reporting this week that hundreds of children still have no place. Why is this?
And I do know from sitting with Minister Foley and Minister Hildegard Nocton, along with everybody else around the table the other day at the Sub-Cabinet Committee for Children, Disability and Youth, that the Department of Education are furiously working to ensure that no child is without a place this September, and are working to ensure, like I think it's in the reams of approximately 400 to 500 children at this moment in time, where we are, that are seeking that accommodation, that the Department of Education and Special Ed are working to ensure that no child is without a place.
Yeah, why are hundreds of children without a place, though, in education?
Population growth could be one of the issues of it, not assessments done quickly enough. And to be quite honest with you, Cormac, I think at the same time, assessments shouldn't be the only reason to be able to access a special class. I think shouldn't. Any child should need an assessment to access education. You don't need an assessment to access early years. We support everybody through early years with the AIMS programme, and maybe we need to be looking at those models as well.
Well, not everybody is treated in the same way in our education system. Not everybody is supported. There are children with disabilities, including autism, who are waiting 16 months for an assessment.
Absolutely, Cormac. And to be honest with you, I have cleared one assessment of need backlog. I cleared it in 2020 to 2021. I took 6,700 children off a waiting list, and unfortunately I find myself back there again with another waiting list. But to say to you that the growth in assessment of needs has grown by 150% in the last 12 months in some of our CHOs in the area, and at the rate of growth, we are struggling to keep up with the demand. There is no denying that.
Maybe it comes back to recruitment again. I think there's 8,000 children waiting for more than 3 months for a special needs assessment. So when will that be cleared, that backlog?
And I am, when it comes to recruitment and it comes to retention, as I said to you, that when we, last year, when there was an embargo being brought in, I fought vigorously to ensure I wouldn't have an embargo, so as I would ensure that all assessments are being carried out, all interventions can be carried out, and I don't have an embargo. But you know, I'm also working with higher education, and a lot of work has been done over the last number of years, so as we are actually making more places available. But
that's
also
fair enough. But
being pragmatic,
do you have a timeline for those children and those parents listening and their families? It's extremely stressful. So when will that backlog of 8,000 children waiting for a special needs assessment, when will that be cleared?
It is being cleared every single day
as we speak. You know,
every one of our teams,
answer.
Up and down.
Do you have a target date?
It's important to say, Cormac, up and down the country, there is 2,500 staff working for the HSE in public service, providing assessments and interventions and ensuring that assessment of needs are carried out, that every child that needs an assessment to access education has that assessment
carried
out.
The problem is the list is growing because of population growth.
It could be worse. Absolutely.
That 3-month wait could be longer.
That is why the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste and Minister O'Donovan are ensuring that higher education are putting on more places. That's why I have assistant therapists coming on stream under the PDS, that we can give in-school support services, that we can give in-home support services, and that there's more people available to carry out the needs.
You're not willing to give me a commitment on a timeline there. Can I ask you about
No, I'm not. Okay.
Can I ask you about the inclusion model? Because this is for children with special needs in the education system. The move to have children educated in mainstream schools in the community or in a special school, be that in the community or somewhere else, an awful lot of people travel very far. The National Council for Special Education has proposed a new policy of reducing the number of special schools over time and moving everyone to an inclusion model. Which one do you favour?
Cormac, when you talk about disabilities, no one size will fit everybody. So I do actually think that we need to be able to provide mainstream education where possible, but there is also a need for special classes, and there is also a need for special schools. In the last number of years, this government has brought on an addition of 11 special schools, and they were needed, Cormac. There is no denying that whatsoever. We have the largest number of additional classes has been brought on in the last number of years. But guess what, Cormac, as well? Perhaps we need to look at campuses where you have special schools and mainstream education working hand in glove, side by side. Integration and inclusion is really important, and stop the siloing.
Minister Anne Rabbitt, can I ask you one more question before you finish? We spoke with Emma Lane Spollen on the programme earlier, and we were discussing the conundrum now that if welfare payments for Ukrainians are reduced to €38.80 a week, those in state-provided accommodation, they pay €70 a week per adult, €35 per child to the provider. This is the situation as it is. But if they're on €38.80, will they still have to pay that, or how will they pay it?
I was listening to Emma's contribution with your good self earlier on, Cormac, and my understanding is, first and foremost, what has been outlined by Cabinet on Tuesday is actually a 12-week lead-in. Mm-hmm. And I know that in 6 weeks' time, Minister Gorman is going to come with proposals. I suppose the other side of this is, in the past, government have been accused of not being very, very good with their communications. I think this allows a period of time where stakeholder engagement can be involved. The Minister Gorman will be able to speak and engage with the various stakeholders to actually get the proposals right.
But the problem here is you can't pay €70 out of €38. So either the contract with the provider has to be renegotiated, or there has to be a reduction in the €70. Which one would you favour?
Well, what I think is what needs to happen here is, like, of what Emma had always said. Like, we're looking at a cohort which is 27,000. It's also important to say there's 106,000 Ukrainians here already in Ireland working and contribution. I think it's important that the stakeholder has that consultation with Minister O'Gorman and the wider team.
What
is happening? The stakeholder involvement, Cormac, like, it's important also to ensure that where there's a need for bespoke arrangements to be put in place, that there's bespoke arrangements.
But I don't know what nobody that means, because bespoke arrangements, what do you mean? Like, they'll make the same point
where
that I'm...
Where you have a mom, Cormac, mm-hmm. where you have a lady or a mom that is in state accommodation and she is caring for her children, that can't participate in the workforce, of course there has to be accommodation made to ensure that she can continue to stay in that accommodation and at the same time afford to live, having some funding as well.
So not pay the 70 euros, is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that, Cormac. I think that has to be open to Minister O'Gorman to engage with the stakeholders.
Okay. Finally then, it's D-Day on Monday for the new laws on e-scooters, and close to your own heart, I know the Irish Wheelchair Association, you listen carefully to them, but they told us in this programme earlier in the week how concerned they were about e-scooters now that they're legal, that there is going to be many more of them, they feared, using the roads and footpaths and cycle lanes, and this might be a problem for disabled people. Do you share those concerns?
I do have concerns, Cormac, and I do share the same concerns as the Irish Wheelchair Association. And I think there has been a lot of advocacy work done from the IWA, along with other DPOs as well. And yes, but at the same time, I do have to welcome, when you talk about legalising, you also talk about a set of rules of which they have to work to, in ensuring that that e-scooters actually have proper licensing arrangements as well. Mm. It's not just a free-for-all.
Okay, and we'll see after six with the RSA how all of that will pan out. Can I thank you very much indeed, Minister of State at the Department of Health and Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Anne Rabbitt. Thank you.